We've come a long way from the logging methods of yesterday. Even the saws are mechanized. But there's still a thrill when the faller cries...
Listen to that crackly sound. It must mean Felix Bonnell is here. That's from an old Weyerhaeuser promo film. And that company and that family have been prominent in the Northwest for well over a century. And now, a long-ago kidnapping from a member of the Weyerhaeuser family has inspired a new book, which our resident historian Felix Bonnell is here to tell us all about. Felix is brought to you by Lake Washington Windows and Doors. Good morning.
Morning, Colleen. Yeah, this is probably in the top 10 of most notorious crimes in the Northwest. It was back in 1935 when little 9-year-old George Weyerhaeuser, whose great-grandfather founded the company, was snatched by kidnappers on his way home from school in Tacoma one May afternoon. Now, this was not long after the infamous Lindbergh baby kidnapping in New Jersey. It was in the middle of an era of high-profile bank robbers and other criminals, along with the rise of the FBI, which J. Edgar Hoover was in the process of founding in 1935 from the predecessor agency he'd taken over a decade earlier. Now, the fact the Weyerhaeuser kidnapping happened here, it's not a secret. It comes up in magazine articles, and it's there in any Northwest history timeline. But a local author named Brian Johnston has the first ever full-length book about it coming out next week. It's called Deep in the Woods, and he went really deep into the FBI documents and court transcripts and even managed to snag an interview with someone very close to the case. Now, I spoke with Brian Johnston a few days ago. He says when it comes to the characters involved and to the narrative of what happened, the research he undertook did not disappoint.
The thing plays out like a Hollywood movie. I mean, half the stuff in here I couldn't make up if I tried. You know, when I was researching this book, I would constantly be running upstairs to my wife saying, "You cannot believe what I just learned about the story." It was just golden nugget after golden nugget. It was remarkable.
That's like Seattle's morning news, golden nugget after golden nugget. First of all,
exactly.
George's great-grandfather is Frederick Weyerhaeuser. He's the guy who started the Weyerhaeuser dynasty. Brian Johnston says he'd still be considered the 12th richest man in American history. For comparison, another local guy, Bill Gates, is number 11. So little George Weyerhaeuser was a natural target for a kidnap and ransom scheme. And so around noon on May 25th, 1935, he left the Lowell School on foot, and he wasn't there to meet his sister outside the Annie Wright School for their chauffeured ride home. When he still wasn't home by early afternoon, his parents, John and Helen Weyerhaeuser, called the police. Around 6:30 p.m., a special delivery letter containing a ransom note arrived at the Weyerhaeuser home. This is from an old newsreel.
This ransom letter was turned over to the FBI. 9-year-old George Weyerhaeuser kidnapped. They made him sign the back of the envelope as identification to his parents. The G-men made a searching study of this elaborate kidnap message. He gave a list of the size of the bills to be paid in the ransom money, $200,000.
Side note, should we be reading the news like that again with dramatic music and emphasis like that?
I really think we should end the sound of a projector, like projector sound effect in the background, so it sounds like we're delivering a newsreel script. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they asked for $200,000. That's pretty audacious for a couple of reasons. Number one, that's equal to about $4 million today. It's four times what the Lindbergh ransom was, and it's the same dollar amount as what hijacker D.B. Cooper would ask for 36 years later. So it's way off the charts. So even though George's dad is John Philip Weyerhaeuser Jr., he doesn't have that kind of cash just lying around, and it takes him a few days to pull it all together. Meanwhile, the kidnappers have placed George Weyerhaeuser in a hole in the ground near Issaquah. Then they take him all the way over to Spokane, driving on historic Route 10, I might add, and they stash him in a rental house on South Hill. Now, I checked a week ago, and I looked at it. The house is still standing, relatively unchanged. So the Weyerhaeusers get the money together. George's uncle follows a bizarre series of instructions, like a scavenger hunt in reverse, to hand it over to two men on a dark stretch of road midway between Seattle and Tacoma. So once the kidnappers have the money, they drive back to Spokane to get George.
They load George up in a box, put him in the trunk of their car, head back across the state, and they have no idea where they're going to drop George off because they hadn't planned that far in advance. These guys were not the sharpest tools in the shed. So they finally decide to leave George on a timber road out in the forest of Issaquah, again, really close to where they had him buried in the ground. And so they dropped him off in midnight. And they said, "Here's a dollar and a blanket." And they said, "Your dad's going to come pick you up." And they just left.
So little George is standing out there in the dark in the woods. It's not freezing, but it's not exactly pleasant. He doesn't know it at that point, but his parents and the police, none of the good guys, have any idea where he is.
And he finally says, "This is stupid. I'm leaving." So he starts walking. And he walks for miles. And he finally gets to this farmer's house. And he knocks on the door, and the farmer answers the door, and he goes, "Hi, I'm George Weyerhaeuser. Can you take me to my parents' house? So out of nowhere, this farmer answers the door, and standing on his porch is the boy who's been on the front page for the last week. He just magically appears out of the blue.
So the farmer, a poultry guy named Boniface, drives little George home to Tacoma to reunite with his frantic parents. That's when the federal boys, who've been lying low before the ransom is paid, kick into gear. The investigation and the manhunt, well, part of it anyway, goes remarkably fast. This is some more newsreel audio.
The FBI has a nationwide system of hunting down kidnapped cash. The G-men made up a list of their own. Washington press ground out hundreds of thousands of these. They circularized the nation, banks, stores, and filling stations, any place where money might be spent. And the trail led to Salt Lake City, where in this 5 and 10, one of the bills on the list was changed to buy this cigarette case. And swiftly, an airplane was taking Harmon Whaley and his wife to Tacoma for trial. He gets 45 years. She gets 20 years.
Yeah, so there were a total of three kidnappers. All were eventually tracked down through the serial numbers on the ransom money, again, which the FBI was still using that method after D.B. Cooper 35 years later. So two were a married couple, 24-year-old Harmon Whaley and 19-year-old Margaret Whaley. They were arrested in Salt Lake City. That was about a week after the kidnapping. A third guy took a little bit longer. He was a 32-year-old career criminal named William Mahan. He and Whaley had met in prison in Idaho and figured George Weyerhaeuser would be a good target because one of his grandfathers had just died. They figured mom and dad would have extra money from an inheritance. He was captured in May of 1936. Now, I mentioned Brian Johnson had tracked down someone very close to the case. That person is George Weyerhaeuser, little George himself, who's not so little anymore, and who was 94 years old when Brian interviewed him a few years ago, and who's now 96. This is just a snippet of Brian's interview. The audio quality isn't that great, but we get a sense of how George Weyerhaeuser looks back on this incident from his childhood 86 years ago.
That was considered a heinous crime, you know, and it still is. I consider it to be a novelty and a dangerous occupation involved in. But, you know, it had a wrap-up that was all's well that ends well. I always felt that of all the people in the world, that my mom and dad, I feel still very badly what happened to them.
Yeah, and there's many, many more twists and turns of this book than we could fit into a radio story. It'll make your head spin. The book is called Deep in the Woods. Author is Brian Johnson. It's available for pre-order now, and we have links at My Northwest.